Our study this morning is out of Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104, section M, God's Path to Superior Wisdom and Insight. Psalm 119 tells of the profitable use of God's written word, the scriptures, and the psalm is formed as an acrostic, where each section has a Hebrew letter that begins each of the eight verses in its respective section. Section Mem, which corresponds to our letter M, incidentally, in Psalm 119, 97 to 104 explains how the believer may gain superior wisdom and insight in his life. And review this section for our instruction and edification as follows. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into his word. Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity that you give us to be able to fellowship with one another around the word of God. We thank you for the indwelling Spirit of God who is our teacher and who equips us to live the life that is outlined for us in the Word of God. We ask, Father, for wisdom to understand the truth of the text this morning and then to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we'll read it from the King James Version first, and then we'll look at it from the Hebrew. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, or elders, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Okay, the verse numbering system in the Hebrew text matches the English Bible's numbering system, so of course we're just going to stay with our English Bible numbering system as we go through this. So we translate Psalm 119, 97 to 104 through from the Hebrew itself. As follows, verse 97, oh, how I love your law all day long. It itself, the word it is in the emphatic position. It's in front of the verb, which is unusual. So it itself is literally my meditation. We would translate it the object of my meditation. Okay, that's what he's meditating on. Verse 98, through your commandments you have made me wiser than my enemy. Because he, that's another emphatic pronoun written in front of the verb, because he is ever with me. Verse 99, I have more insight than all my teachers because your statutes are my meditation. Once again, we would translate it the object of my meditation. I have demonstrated myself to have greater understanding than the elders. That would be the psalmist's cultural superiors or his leaders. For I observe your precepts. Verse 101, I have restrained my feet from every evil path to the end, or with the intent that I might keep your word. And then verse 102, I have not turned aside from your judgments because you, another emphatic pronoun is written in front of the verb, because you have directed me. How sweet to my palate are your words, sweeter than honey to my mouth, verse 103. And then finally, 104, I have demonstrated myself to have great understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every fraudulent wrong path. Okay, we consider significant observations regarding this psalm as follows. The psalmist testifies that he possesses wisdom that is superior to his teachers and to his elders. In verses 97 to 100. He expresses his appreciation of and his constant use of the Word of God. He tells God of his love for Scripture and reveals how he continually meditates on it. The reasons for such activities are based on the psalmist's use of Scripture for his own good. And the psalmist's use of God's commands gives him a competitive edge over his evil enemy, and that is a necessity since he is always confronted by him. That's the key. This is the heart of this whole section of the psalm. God at times allows us to be constantly pestered, constantly confronted by an enemy, because what it does, it constantly drives us to have to use the Word of God to deal with it. And as we are constantly in the Word of God, we're dealing with evil and the difference between evil and good. We actually grow in wisdom, because wisdom is actually an insight, is something that is a product, and we'll get into this later in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, 11 to 14. It's actually the product of having to go through experiences in life where we have to discern good and evil. So that's very important. This helps to explain why God allows us to get pestered by enemies. He knows it's uncomfortable. He knows it's evil. He knows it's unfair. But he's producing through us an enhanced capacity of wisdom, because we're always having to face the Word of God through this. Now, the psalmist's meditation on Scripture has produced insight that exceeds that of his teachers. And the rule of thumb is, the more you suffer from the hands of enemies, the greater your wisdom is going to be, because you have to be into Scripture, and when you're in Scripture, you have to dig, and as you dig, your discernment between good and evil, because you're dealing with good and evil all the time, enhances. And that's what wisdom is. So actually, God does us a favor by allowing us always to be confronted with evil. Now, the psalmist's observation of Scripture has become so effective that his wisdom and insight gained by observing the Word demonstrates itself as superior to even that of the elders, those who are in leadership over him. It is a fact that I believe every believer has the capacity to grow in understanding and wisdom that can exceed that of the deacons in the church, that can actually exceed that of the pastor of the church. There's no limit to this, because as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, we grow in wisdom, that capacity is enhanced. I've talked with people that I've been surprised how discerning they are. These are people who, some of them are women, some of them are men. These are people who are not formally trained in Scripture, but because of their exposure to trials and evil and good and so forth over the years, they have really grown in wisdom. And it's an absolute delight to interact with people like this. They've paid the price. They've paid their dues, believe me. But they have really developed. Now, following this testimony, the psalmist explains his profitable use of Scripture that we too might gain his superior wisdom and insight as follows. He had decided at some point in time to avoid sinning by heeding Scripture. Verse 101. As God became his instructor through his applying Scripture, the psalmist kept himself from committing acts of sin. Now, the results of these steps were the divine blessings of superior wisdom and insight. Namely, the psalmist found real joy in simply doing what was biblically upright. And verse 104a, he also demonstrated himself to be superior in wisdom and insight in relating to other people. And then, in finding both joy in heeding God and of possessing superior wisdom and insight, the psalmist was even more motivated to hate every non-biblical pathway in his life. Now, this motivation would have enhanced his drive to meditate all the more on Scripture. In other words, this is something that feeds on itself. When you begin to see what the Lord does by opening up your apertures in your mind to discerning good and evil, what happens is, and you know that that comes from being exposed to Scripture, your motivation to study Scripture goes up. And as it goes up, you get into the Word more. And as you get into the Word more, your discernment goes up. So it feeds on itself. And it's a wonderful thing. Now, I put a note down here because we studied the book of Proverbs a number of years ago. And the book of Proverbs was formed on the format of an Egyptian spoyet. That's a literary genre. The Egyptians knew that there was a fixed moral order. They didn't know who created or what. They knew that there was a fixed moral order. And if a young man was going to be a pharaoh, it was to his advantage to get to know and align with that fixed moral order. So they would have their own sets of proverbs. Solomon came along and said, look, with the wisdom that I have, I know how to write a spoyet. I'll write it better than the Egyptians. And he did, under the God's inspiration. So the book of Proverbs actually is designed specifically for young men to be leaders. And this is why often the writer appeals to wisdom as a woman, as a delightful woman, as a woman you would desire to marry and so forth, because it's designed to hook young men into this so that they will want the wisdom of God. But wisdom is alignment to God's fixed moral order. Bruce K. Walkie, he was my Hebrew prof at Dallas Seminary, and he wrote the book of Proverbs and ancient wisdom literature in Bibliotheca Sacra, which is scholarly journal by Dallas Seminary. So one's having to face and overcome evil foes by aligning to God's fixed moral order expressed in his word of necessity leads to greater wisdom. Now, especially applied to young men, which tells me that for a young man to mature and to become wise, he has got to face trials in his life where he has to come to discern between good and evil. And he applies the word of God to that discernment, and he grows. And the more he does this, the wiser he gets, and the more equipped he is to lead. If you look at some of the great men that we've had in our country, think of Abraham Lincoln. That man suffered a lot before he became president of the United States. He suffered a lot as president. But before then, he went through lots of trials. There's a long list of failures that Lincoln had. He failed in various elections and so forth long before he became president of the United States. But it tempered that man and developed and strengthened him so that when he became president of the United States, there was no one probably in this country that could hold the country together like he did when we went through our horrible Civil War and 1/8 of the American population was killed during the Civil War. It was because he was a man of intense character, because he'd faced problems like this. So it's to the advantage, especially of young men, to deal with the injustices that they face through God's word. Now, the psalmist, here's the lesson, the psalmist's superior wisdom and insight was caused by his discernment of good and evil, becoming enhanced by his always having to apply scripture to offset constant enmity by an evil foe. The first passage I want to turn to is Hebrews, because this actually dovetails in perfectly with the lesson that we have here. In Hebrews chapter 5, I'll start reading at verse 11 and go to verse 14. Of whom we have, he's talking about Jesus Christ here, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you, he's writing to his readers, are dull of hearing. For at such a time when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that is who uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, because he's but a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, namely, those who by reason of use or by experience have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's what causes maturity, through facing issues where we have to discern good from evil. Our discernment goes way up. And as our discernment between good and evil goes way up, our wisdom goes up, because wisdom is alignment to God's fixed moral order. The more you know how to discern good and evil, the better you are equipped to be wise. And then as you select wisdom, as you select good over evil, then you become wise in your life. So in application, God lets us continually face evil foes. He's doing us a favor as it drives us to keep on applying scripture to handle the trial, thus enhancing our growth in wisdom and insight. So it is to our advantage to meditate on scripture before we face evil foes, that we might actually be ready to counter confusion and hurt when we face them. I didn't include 1 Corinthians yet, but I'll look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and following, Paul says, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, that would be mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This is why when you talk to an unsaved person, even a very intelligent unsaved person, when you talk about spiritual truth, it's like water off a duck's back, right over his head. He has no comprehension of what you're talking about. But as it is written, verse 9, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of the man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. That's capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit teaches, searches all things, yea, even the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual words. But the natural man, this is the carnal man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is discerned of no man. Those are all the same verbs. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So, there is truth, and there is insight that is available, but it comes only through having to face issues where we make decisions between good and bad. What heightens the sensitivity is when we suffer persecution or abuse from an evil person. Our learning wave goes way up because of the pain involved, and we want to get away from the pain. So we handle the pain by getting into Scripture, and all of a sudden, oh, wow. And then our understanding of the Scripture goes way up. When I was originally, I've actually used information that for this Psalm 119. I actually translated this many years ago, and I've had the translations with me, and I'm going through. This is actually repeat for me, but when I did these translations at the time, I was facing a whole series of trials, and my understanding of the passage went way up because of the trials. And now I look back on it, I can see the value of that information. But at the time, it was not a picnic. I was not having fun. But in retrospect, it was to my advantage as a believer, so I'm very grateful for those trials that the Lord gave. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on this lesson, it could be on something else. And if we get into an area of prolonged silence, I do have another issue that has come up, and I'll deal with that from the Word of God. But I want to interact with you and see where your needs are.